Good evening, Times Square Church. My precious brothers and sisters, it's a pleasure to be able to worship alongside of you tonight. I want to tell you something before I even go into the word. I wanted to say thank you for those young people for just really sharing your heart. You know, it's funny, last night I went on Google like my man Tone, and I was just looking up about fatherlessness. And one of the things I read that really shocked me, alongside of all the other statistics, was that one in every three in America is fatherless. That don't make no kind of sense. And I really want to thank you again because that retreat that they was talking about, I happened to be there. And so I was an eyewitness of what's taking place in the life of those young people. And so I just want to pray real quick. Father, we do thank you. God, we thank you for your manifest presence. Lord, we thank you that you are here with us tonight. Lord, and you are concerned about everything that concerns us, Lord God. Lord, I'm asking, God, this night, Lord, that you would help me to deliver this word the way that you gave it to me, Lord. Lord, it was you who strategically brought every person here, Lord, tonight that you might speak to them. God, we're asking that you would honor your name in this place. And we thank you in advance of the great and the mighty work that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you a question, but I don't want an answer. Not yet. Have you ever been or ever known yourself to have a bunch of problems, outward problems that people can see and it's evident that you need help? But there are problems deep within that are a whole lot more complicated and complex than what we see on the outside. Tonight, I want to talk to that person. In the book of Mark, chapter 10, where this is a familiar passage of scripture, it begins at verse 46 to verse 52. I want to talk to you tonight about a man named Bartimaeus. It was a blind man, and I want to talk to you about him a little bit. I'm going to read from verse 46. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Now, as we see, the scripture says that Jesus was on this particular road, and there was a large crowd around him. And I believe that this road was the road leading to Jerusalem, where there was going to be this feast called the Passover. And so this blind man found himself on this same particular road that this man, Jesus, is walking on. Now, this blind man, the Bible says that he was a beggar. And, you know, I thought about this particular road that he might have been sitting on at the time, because it kind of reminded me in my mind's eye of possibly Broadway on a Sunday. You know, you would have a couple of thousand people going towards this feast to celebrate the Passover. And so that would be a good spot for a beggar to probably have a good day. And I'm saying that because that's probably what he was more concerned about at the moment. He was probably concerned about making his situation a little bit better for today. And of course, the scriptures tell us that this man was blind. It's obvious he needs some help. This man was a beggar, and it's obvious he was unable to provide for himself. But tonight, I want to suggest to you that what we see on the outside of this man was only really the beginning of what probably was going on inside of the man's heart. Now, the scriptures tell us that this man's name is Bartimaeus, which simply means son of Anna. But his circumstance and his situation seems so far removed from what his name was, son of Anna. He found himself in a lowly position. He found himself being unable to provide for himself. But yet, his name was son of Anna. Now, what this brings to my attention is that obviously, at some point in this man's life, there was someone who had hope for him. There was someone who had a plan for his life. But yet his circumstances right now just don't agree. Because I don't see any honor in a man finding himself on the side of the road, asking alms from those who would pass by. There is no honor. But I want to suggest to you tonight that probably the pain of knowing that his life was meant for so much greater than what it was at that moment. Even as all of us are sitting here tonight, there's something deep down inside of our hearts that says that we were meant for so much more than what we are right now. And I'm going to tell you, people, God put that there because you are. And oftentimes, our outward circumstances begin to dictate what we believe. Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you are here tonight because you know, without a shadow of a doubt, you in need. You need help. You know that you can't do it anymore on your own, and that's why you're here. But some of us feel like if I could just get past this thing, I'll be all right. If I could just get into this program, I'll be okay. If somebody would just come and just bless me, I can get on my feet. And I'll be all right. And I'm going to tell you, I found myself there for a lot of years. I found myself struggling with the inward man. Because I know that there was a call on my life. I didn't understand that fully. And I still don't. And oftentimes the outward circumstances or situation would tell me, no, Derek, that's a lie. I'm going to tell you a story. When I was younger, when I was born with this patch of gray hair in my head. And it's mad funny because everybody told me, they said, yo, you was born with gray hair? You're going to be lucky. So I'm like Tone. I was like, let's do it. So I went about living life and I was getting away with murder. And I was like, maybe I am lucky. Until some things started to happen. Things started not going my way. Circumstances started getting harder. I found myself always in a jam, bumping my head up against a wall. And I remember having this conversation like, what happened? I thought I was lucky. But that was out the window. And I'll tell you another joke real quick. That if gray hair had something about with being lucky, I'd be all right. That's a sidebar. Praise God. There are many of us in here tonight that where we are is preventing us from believing who we are. See, there's a plan for good for every life that's in here. There's not one person that's exempt from this plan for good. You are not exempt. And I don't care how foul your life has been. I don't care how many mistakes you've been in or how many mistakes you've made. I don't care. I don't care how many times you failed. You are not exempt from this plan for good for your life. And I want to go back to the scriptures a little bit. The Bible said that this man was sitting on the side of the road. And what he didn't know that day on the side of the road was that his life was about to change. And I didn't say some change. His life was about to change. And tonight, you that are sitting here, you might have came in here haphazardly. You might have just needed to hear a good word of encouragement tonight. But tonight, your life is about to change. Jesus is walking by the side of your road tonight. And I want to tell you what the scripture says. This man found himself there. But the question we can ask ourselves is, okay, brother, I am there. But how in the world do I get out of there? How do I get from under these lies? How do I find myself out of these circumstances and situations? How? Because I've tried over and over again, and I keep coming up with lint. Let's look at the scriptures, see what the scriptures say. Verse 47, I love this, says that when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby. Now, the first question I ask is, how did he hear this? You know what I'm thinking? He's sitting on the side of the road, and his ears are probably turned on because he's waiting for that person to come so he can ask for alms. But yet, he hears these feet. He hears the rocks being kicked on the road. He hears the dust in the air. He hears these voices full of joy. And he's going, what in the world is going on? And somebody probably stopped on the side of the road and they began to tell him what was happening. And I can hear them say this. There was a prophet named Isaiah who said that there would be a man who would come and that he would heal the lame. That he would cause the deaf to hear, and that he would cause the blind to see. And this man would be called the Messiah. This man is the Son of God, the one who would come to be the Lamb of God, who would die for your sins. This man would come and take the penalty of death that belongs to you. And I can hear him. He's hearing his thing. Because see, we are all made with this thing inside of us where we can identify truth. See, when truth comes, there's a witness in our heart that this is the truth. And Jesus says that I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. You see, truth is a person. And this person is on the road on his way to you tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, when he heard this man or woman sharing with him, it resonated in his heart. And the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. When we identify with truth, oftentimes we don't understand the whole thing. I still don't understand. None of us will understand, not on this side of eternity. But all we do is we just respond to that truth. And let me tell you what this man did. Verse 47 says that when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people shouted. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes there's some people around us, they really need Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes there's something inside of you, just like Tone said, "You know what? I'm going to do this thing." There's something inside of you that you're ready. But then you hear the voices. "Man, I tried that. Didn't work for me. Jesus only likes black people or Chinese people." We hear these voices of the people around us. And then sometimes it's not even a voice of a living person. Sometimes it's the voice in our heart. Sometimes it's the voice of the addiction. It's the voice of the drugs. The voice of the alcohol. The voice of the pornography. It's yelling out to you, "Shut up! Be quiet!" But the very fact that you're here tonight proves to me that there's something deep down inside of you that's crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." The Bible says that Jesus stopped and told him to come here. So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. He jumped up and came to Jesus. And I want to tell you something. Throwing away this cloak probably was the only thing that he had. But you know what he did? The Bible says he threw it away. It was a sign of surrender. No more. No more. I'm fed up. No more. And tonight, that needs to be the cry of your heart. No more. I am done. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible says that Jesus asked him a question. "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And he told him, he says, "I want my sight." And I want to suggest to you again tonight that the sight that he was asking for was not just his eyesight, not just what he can see on the outward man, but it was the sight inside of his heart where he could begin to see things from Jesus' perspective. Where he can begin to once again believe that he is the Son of Honor. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everybody to stand to your feet. Listen, just briefly and straight to the point. There are men and women that are here today, and you know that you're struggling. You know that you need help. But Jesus wants to get to that deeper level. He wants to take you to a place where you can now have relationship with him. Not just be good, not just circumstance or situation be okay, but he wants you to walk in relationship with him. Just like a son or a daughter. I thought about these kids. They're talking about their relationships with their father. And that's what he wants to be to you tonight. He wants to be your heavenly father. He wants to be to you everything that you will ever need. And I just want to invite those tonight that if you're tired of being tired, and you are ready to surrender, and I'm talking to that specific individuals, you know who you are. You are ready to surrender. I'm done. I want you to meet me up here tonight as the choir comes and begin to play. I want you to meet me up here, and we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God that he's going to transform your life, and that today that you will become a follower of God. Amen. Glory to God.
The scripture that Derek spoke from this evening talks about this man. He knew he couldn't see. He couldn't see a way forward. He couldn't see a way out. And all of his deepest schemes had come to nothing. And when he took that garment off and he threw it away, it speaks to you and I tonight of the fact that we need to get up and throw away our pride and throw away what do we worry about what other people think. You know, we want to hold on to that cloak and we want people to think we've still got something going for us. And we don't want to just admit that we're just at a dead end, but that's just pride. It requires throwing that garment away. Throwing away the addictions, the whatever we have found to occupy that place of pain in our heart and to give us some bit of relief, we've got to throw that away as well. And folks, we're just throwing away rags for riches. The Bible says we're throwing away sorrow for joy. We're throwing away depression for clear thinking. We're throwing away hopelessness for a life of hope. We're throwing away nothing but the ability to beg for a song that people will see before they even hear it and say, where did you ever get a song like that? And this is what God is asking tonight of you, just to have the courage to say, I don't care what people think, and I don't care how many voices are telling me to be quiet. God is passing by. The one who created me is passing by, and I'm not willing that he should pass me by. I'm not willing that I should just stay here among the multitudes on the side of the road and not be noticed. I'm going to cry out to him, and I'm going to believe. And the scripture does tell us that he got his sight and began to walk with Jesus from that day forward. That's what the Lord promises tonight. There are many, many who should be here at this altar, should be having the courage. And if you're young tonight and you're just starting out, why spend the next 15 years just to realize that there's nothing there? Why waste your time when God is reaching out to you now? He's passing by now. And you can have a life that will stun you. The presence of God comes into your heart. There's a clear vision given for the future. Your thoughts begin to clear up and you know why you were born, what your purpose is on the earth, and where you're going when you die. We're going to sing again for a moment. But I'm going to plead with you tonight. Just throw off whatever it is that wants to hold you at the side of the road and come and walk with Jesus. Give him your life tonight. Give him your heart. Give him your future. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. If you brought somebody with you this evening, turn to the person beside you and just say to that person, if you want to go down, I'll go with you. And maybe you don't even know, you don't even have to know the person beside you. You can just turn and say, look, if you're not a Christian, a follower of Christ, and you'd like to be, I'll go with you. I'll walk down there with you. You don't have to go alone. Because some people are, it is a fearful thing. It's a strange culture tonight. You've never done anything quite like this before. But Jesus is passing by. Do you understand? You have an opportunity for forgiveness in heaven when you die and a wonderful life while you live on the earth. There is freedom from bondage and oppression and abuse and addiction and depression and hopelessness. And there is a new life that is promised you in Jesus Christ. So cast off whatever it is that's keeping you in your seat tonight. Gentlemen that are here tonight, be a man for goodness sakes. It takes men to walk with God. Be a man and walk with God. We're going to sing again and take a moment to talk to the person beside you and invite that person to come down with you tonight. Do that, please. Just do it by faith tonight. Let's sing again, but slip out of your seat and come. Meet these that are already here this evening. Give your life to Jesus Christ tonight. Don't live in poverty. Don't live in sin. Don't live in bondage any longer. You have a wonderful opportunity to know God. Let Him touch your life tonight.
I tell you, our Heavenly Father, He got a bigger smile than I got on my face right now for you. He is so happy, so pleased with your decision tonight. And I want to ask, is there anyone here that for the first time that you are receiving Jesus Christ into your life? If you could just put your hand up, I would love to pray with you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, I want to say a prayer, right? And those of you who raised up your hand, I want you to pray alongside of me. Because what I want you to know is that your voice is precious to Jesus. He wants to hear your voice. He already knows everything, but He just wants to hear your voice. Okay? So I want you to close your eyes and you're going to pray with me. I'm going to ask that everybody else pray along with us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven me of my sins. And you make me whole. There's not one lie that I have to believe anymore. My life belongs to you. I give you all of me. I surrender all to you. And now, Jesus, I'm asking that you would come into my life. And that you would now be the ruler and the king. And that you would take the preeminence of my life. And use this life for your glory. I thank you so much for this day. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap. And then I just want to pray for the rest who responded. Father, I do pray alongside of my precious brothers and sisters tonight. Lord, you know the longing in their heart to be with you. Lord, you know the struggles that they face outwardly, but more importantly, God, you know the struggles that they face inwardly. God, I'm asking that tonight, Lord God, by faith, Lord God, that they would receive authority and victory over every stronghold in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask for each of these that are here tonight that you would quicken them by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would draw them into the prayer closet, Lord, that they might commune with you and speak with you, God, as a man speaks with his friend. God, I pray that you would reiterate the promise that you have for their life. God, you have never changed it, Lord God. You have never taken it away. And I pray that from this moment forward, Lord God, that they would believe you by faith, Lord, that you do have a plan for good for them and not for evil, to give them a hope and an expected end. And Lord, I'm asking in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would raise them up to be mighty men and women of God, that they would be greatly used by you in the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray that you would always remind them, God, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would bring it back to their remembrance, that you have given them the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and that nothing shall by any means hurt them. Father, we thank you, God, because you're good. No, God, you're better than good. You are God, and we thank you, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.